This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Birthday Boy.
Belle, it's your birthday. They say it's your birthday. So do some cool stuff. Happy birthday, yeah. Buddy.
Thank you. It's neat, you know, because we're recording this on a Sunday. My birthday happens to fall on a Sunday, and so we got to record on my birthday. What a fabulous present to spend some time talking about The Flash with my buddy Bo.
See, this was all an elaborate scheme between myself, the CW executives, the creative team behind The Flash. Like, basically, we have been working the system to change the release date this season just so we could line up and rearrange our recording schedule to be able to record on your birthday. Because my present to you this year, my friend, is to steal about 45 minutes of your birthday away from having fun and record this podcast.
Well, you know, it's always a blast recording podcasts.
I'm
not going to continue that rhyme.
No.
I ran out of time. Hey-o! Yeah, right. He's got jokes. He's got rhymes. He's got it all.
Oh man! So may I ask? Is it all right to ask? Are you turning? You're turning 39?
38.
Turning 38.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me see.
You don't look a day over 30. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overguess it. I thought. Let's see. Am I older than you? I can't be older than you. When were you born?
I'm 38. I was born in 1984.
I was born in 84. I'm older than you.
Yeah, because your birthday's
in May.
No, you're younger than you're older. No, you're younger than me.
No, I'm older than you. No, you're younger than me. Okay, that's right. We're in a new year.
What comes after April?
May.
Right. And so you're 30. You're 37, right?
Uh huh.
You're still in your clerk's year. So what does that make? What does that make you? If you're 37 and I'm 38, does that make you younger or older?
That makes me wiser.
I'll allow it.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. You know what it is? It's the fact that we're in a new year. Sometimes it all throws me off, man. But no, obviously you're an old man and I'm still a young buck, so I appreciate that. Hey, that's happy true. Birthday, buddy. I'm right there behind you by about a month, so. Oh man. All right. Well, hey, we've got an awesome show to jump into, man. We got an episode to talk about, some wild speculation, a lot of great speculation this episode. So, yeah, sit down. Pull up a chair. Let's get into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 10 of season 8, Reckless, directed by Kelly Cyrus and story by
Jess Carson.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, Dion tells Barry and Iris that she is causing time to fracture around her. After Frost is attacked by the Black Flame, she and Carla Tannhauser enact a plan to amplify Frost's cryokinetic abilities to draw it out and trap it in a fusion sphere, but fail and Frost is injured. Caitlin is upset that Carla would use Frost as bait, but Carla reveals that she will soon develop cryokinetic abilities, and that the plan will work if she and Frost draw out the black flame together. However, the sphere's structural integrity is compromised, and Carla goes into cardiac arrest, so Frost pulls her out, and the black flame escapes. Team Flash comes together later to revamp the plan. In Coast City, Iris and Sue bring Tinia to an adoption agency to find her mother. The receptionist leaves and returns to find the entire room completely empty. Tinia finds her mother Renee and they talk, but Iris's eyes flash green and Renee vanishes in a green light. Meanwhile, the black flame appears to Caitlin and instead of attacking her, speaks to her using Ronnie Raymond's voice and words.
Dun dun dun! Alright, man, the Frost family is back. It is a family Snow reunion. You know, it took me like a quick minute because I was like, wait, who is this again? Completely forgetting that that was Caitlin's mom.
I had forgotten about Icicle. I will not lie. When they mentioned like her dad, and then they showed the picture of Icicle. I'm kind of glad they did because sometimes they'll show you know a glimpse of what they're talking about to sort of refresh people's minds. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, eye rolling. Come on, we're fans. We know. And then I totally forgot. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, her dad was Icicle. Okay.
right. Well, that's the thing, man. So, you know, Caitlin Snow, who has also been in this series, has been kind of there several times and almost like a seasoning, like a cold seasoning, like ice shavings that you will, that you might put over something that it makes sense to put ice shavings over. I don't know. I can't come up with a good analogy that also works with a cold reference, but regardless, sometimes her like storylines
shaved ice. It's Hawaiian shaved ice.
Yeah. Except a Hawaiian shaved ice, you get a lot of it. I'm talking about, it's kind of been sprinkled throughout few and far between.
Then Caitlin is the flavor that you put on the Hawaiian shaved ice, but you don't want a lot of it because you really like the other flavors, but you want a little bit of it.
Are you talking about like the cream stuff they put on top of it?
Yeah, she's the sweetened condensed milk.
That's right. Okay, so she's the sweetened condensed milk. But the thing is, the sweetened condensed milk tends to stand out, but like it stands out when you taste it, but when you're not tasting it and you're on with the rest of the snow cone, you don't taste it anymore and you almost kind of forget what it tasted like. Right? Is that...
Yeah.
That works. That works.
When it's there, it's nice. But when it's not there, you kind of forget about it.
And it's not there a lot. I mean, Caitlin Snow has also been in the series, but it's been a little sparingly when it comes to her family and her storyline. So I agree with you. I very much appreciated the flashback to the family sequence. I did remember that her father was Icicle Sr. and that they did not really go anywhere with the Icicle Jr. plotline, which is fine. I feel like Caitlin, you know, When the entirety of this series is done and we look back at it as a whole, I fully expect to look overall and say that of all the characters that I feel like really did not get the justice they deserve in terms of like, you know, just the storyline being so convoluted, so all over the place, you know, not nearly what it could have been. Caitlin's certainly up there. She's probably going to be in my top three characters in that regard. Now, there's obviously going to be a lot to celebrate and a lot of really awesome storylines to big up, but that we're at least a year or two down the road. I'm calling it right now. The Flash is going for 10 seasons. I know I said it was going to not come back like a year or two ago, but it was a pandemic. Anyway, point is that Caitlin Snow's plot lines have been kind of all over the map, as is her supporting characters and her family and that sort of thing. So, yes, it was nice to get a little bit of a kind of almost a conclusion to some extent to the relationship with her mom, the fact that she's now two people. What does it even mean when all of a sudden you have a daughter that splits in half and now you have kind of like a, I don't know, like late onset twins or something like that?
I feel like it's more of an issue on the processing on like Caitlin and Snow's side, just because like, you know, Carla knew that Frost was there from the get-go, right? Like it's sort of like, you know, a protector and bodyguard of Caitlin. Mm. And maybe it's weird for her now that they're split out in two separate people. So now she, you know, has after the fact twin kind of thing like you're mentioning. So, right. But I think for her initially, yeah, no big deal. They were one body, two separate, you know, minds, and she was kind of aware, you know, that was, you know, Icicle sort of doing and whatnot. But now that they're split, it's like she has, I guess she always had regular Caitlin, and then she sometimes had Frost, but now it's like they're totally separate, and so they are, it is two daughters, technically. I mean, this is weird.
it's weird, and I mean, like, I think that is... part of what this season, I think, has been working to do is to take all of these maybe less than stellar handling of characters and plot lines and that sort of thing, and try to wrap them up a little bit, give them a little bit of a bow to maybe hopefully simplify them to some extent. For example, Caitlin and Frost, right? Like these two separate characters. Frost is who I always wanted Caitlin to be, but instead they went with the kind of splitting him into two separate characters. I don't know why they did that. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I think it's unfortunate, but it is what has happened. And so the less we deal with how we got to this place, I think the better overall, and the more we just kind of lean into the fact that this is where we are, then I think that's going to provide for the best storytelling. And so, you know, yeah, that means that we're going to have to get used to the fact that, you know, sure, they're sisters. And that means that Caitlin's mom has two daughters. And so it's all wrapped up in as nice a bow as it's going to be. Now, I did like the fact that we're exploring, you know, Mama Snow as somebody who, with that kind of morally gray, sciency mindset, willing to put her daughter in danger. And I get that there's a larger conversation throughout this episode. Of course, Barry has it with Joe in terms of when is it appropriate to put yourself in danger? When is it appropriate to put others in danger? At what point is the cost worth the benefits when it comes to, you know, the superhero life and the superhero work? Barry in particular, I think it was really interesting when he kind of called out the fact that, hey, this, not that this is a totally bad idea, but I think he said, like, this seems like a last resort. Like, this does seem like something we would do, but it doesn't seem like it's something we would do right now. It seems like
we wouldn't do that this early in the season, guys. Come on. Exactly. We got to draw this out a little bit further.
Exactly. Y'all, we got picked up for a few more episodes. Let's hold off on this one. But we do start seeing, like, there has been a good slow build to the way they've been handling this kind of Black Flame killer or this serial killer or whatever it may be. I love the fact that we get, you know, a Pokeball that is introduced in this. And we're like, oh, it's a fire type. We're going to need a Mega Ball. And so they create a Mega Ball, and you go, what do you do to defeat Fire-type? Well, you throw ice at it.
Yeah, but it's that. And here's the thing that bothers me about that. It is an ice type. Like, the whole cold fusion thing, it's like it makes you so cold that it burns you, which cold stuff can do that. But, like, cold stuff burning you it damages the skin or whatever in a way that, like, you know, causes the skin to die and damage like it would if it were a burn. But it doesn't make the room temperature heat up. Like, that's what I don't understand about this whole thing. Like, it's been driving at me, where it's, they're saying that it's cold and it's cold fusion and it's so cold it burns. But, like, if it's so cold, why does it make the ambient temperature in the room increase?
Hey, man.
I don't understand it.
It's OMG science. We don't got to explain it.
No, but Oh, it just bothers me, because they talked about it so much here, about the cryokinetic abilities and the amplification of them to, like, you know, draw it closer so it can feed off of that and become stronger. And then Allegra was like, when the flame shows up, it's like, does somebody turn up the heat? And I'm like, no one did. It's really cold. It's Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Just breathe. It's fine. It's fine. It is what it is. And we'll, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's the least of all the inconsistencies, man. You should be able to let that one go.
Well, yeah, and there were other issues that I had with this episode in general. I don't know why this one kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay, so me as well, but I'm not entirely sure why. Like, I do actually like the moral quandary and kind of the questioning, like, that we were presented with two different arguments on how to proceed with trying to capture the Black Flame. And I felt like there was kind of, like, you know, Barry was wrong for the right reasons and Mama Snow was right, but for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was so weird, because it was like Barry was the only one who was in the other camp, and, like, no one agreed.
No,
with
Caitlin.
Him.
Caitlin agreed with him.
Well, yeah, Caitlin. But I think Caitlin, it was a different thing. I think Barry was kind of like, yeah, you know, I've used myself as bait. You know, we've done this bait thing for numerous villains. But the whole thing about, like, Snow not valuing her life, like, that just felt like it came out of nowhere. Like, I thought they're gonna go something, like, go somewhere with it, where she's like, you know, and they did kind of. They were talking about how, like, you know, I'm not just a bodyguard for Caitlin, but it felt really forced and weird. Like I thought they were trying to go a route where, like, maybe Caitlin is depressed and, like, she wants more for her life, and so it came off poor.
I mean, it's a Caitlyn-centric story. Of course it came off as forced and weird. That's the hallmarks of a Caitlyn story in the series. But it's fine.
But everybody's like, oh, no, we don't do that. We're not going to, like, you know, risk your life. And Caitlyn's like, why don't you value your life? It's like, we haven't seen anything that says that she doesn't. Like, she's having this wonderful life with Mark. Chilblain.
Yeah,
she's having this wonderful life with Chilblain. Like, she's painting, and she's like, I've done the best work that I've done. There's no indication here that she is not valuing her life. And then all of a sudden, like, that's Caitlyn's biggest thing, is that she's not valuing her life. And then there was Barry kind of just falling over on his stance, which he showed us that he normally doesn't do. Like, he normally doesn't do that. He's normally very adamant, you know, about his stance, especially when we were talking about Discount Jack Black earlier in the season. He wouldn't back off on that, and now he's backing off on this. And then Joe was the weirdest one for me on this, when, you know, at the end he was like, we could have caught the thing and it went away. And then Caitlyn explains, or Frost explains her viewpoint, and he was like, oh, sorry, no, I agree with you now that I knew you had to make a judgment call. I was like, what? Like, where is it coming from?
I didn't mind that, though. I thought that made sense. Like, I don't know.
It made sense, but the timing was poor. Where he was like, you know, that should have happened, you know. I feel like if he was going to say that line makes sense. He's absolutely right in that situation. And 2 seconds later, he's like, oh, I didn't know you had to make a judgment call. Okay, cool. Like, I felt there could have been more, I don't know, distance between that and the revelation to make it feel less cheap, where it's like, I don't think I'm going to ever eat chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets are disgusting. I should never eat them. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you seasoned them with cayenne pepper. I'm going to eat them now.
No, I don't think that's it, though. I think what's different is the person that he's talking to and what their role is in that decision-making process, right? Like, when he's talking to Barry, he's giving him advice as the team leader. But then when it comes down to it, the person who is actually being, like, the actual team member that it's actually happening to makes the judgment call. Like, it's one thing to give advice to somebody who's, like, you know, over the team. It's another thing to, like, respect the judgment call that was made by the actual person that's executing the thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's different.
Yeah.
That's where I find it acceptable. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I felt like this was going to be an episode where they were going to get rid of Carla. I thought so too.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to kill her, and I thought it was going to be a thing where it wasn't going to be, like, there wasn't going to be, like, drama around it. Where, you know, everybody was going to be upset and mad, but, like, it was going to be one of those things where she's like, I can put an end to this. I can stop this. Let me do this. Blah, 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 kind of thing. And then, you know, just like,
well,
you know, everybody's making these judgment calls saying, we're not going to do that. This is not how we do it. And she says, this is the only way we can do it. I'm going to make that sacrifice or whatever. No one should be able to disallow me this. Right. But I don't know.
I don't think they're going to bring her back just to kill her. I mean, I think with what they're about to do, and we'll get more deeper into that in Speedster Speculation, but with what we have kind of coming down the pipeline, there's enough emotional weight that's about to be on Caitlin and Frost that their mom dying on top of that is probably going to be, it's a step too far. I do think, you know, if, for example, they do decide maybe later on this season or at some point to kill off Caitlin, then I think having this establishment between Frost and Carla in that mother-daughter relationship is going to be important. It's going to be critical. Because if they do lean into that relationship, or if Carla does show up in a post-Caitlyn world, we need to have that relationship established while Caitlyn's still alive. So I think that's important. I'm just, by the way, just throwing out that theory. I'm not saying that Caitlyn's about to die or anything, but just saying, you know, that's the easiest character to kill off right now is Caitlyn. So we'll see what ends up happening. All right. So there we go. Snow family continues to grow and grow. It snowballs, Belle. It snowballs.
Hey-o.
There it is. Okay, so we've got that going on. We also have Iris with Sue off on the, you know, trying to deal with the whole Phantom situation, you know, having a nice little time. Here's the thing. Iris's time sickness. Speaking of forced and weird, I've been thinking about this. It's been something that's bothered me. But the more I actually pause and actually kind of consider this season and the way in which they've been kind of trickling out the time sickness and the way it's impacted Iris, the more I've actually gotten a little intrigued by it. Because I'm wondering, Belle, if this is, I think I initially saw it as like, okay, she's like some sort of time bomb that they're gonna have to stop, and once again, like Iris is the bomb, or the bomb's gonna attack Iris. It's like, it's kind of, they've done this before. But now I'm wondering if Iris is not so much the bomb, but is in fact patient zero. And what we're gonna see is a time sickness pandemic by the end of this season. Because think about it, like, so we've seen as she touches things, how like the time sickness kind of infects different things and that sort of deal. And we've also seen in this episode specifically how when I think it was Renee touched her, or she had touched Renee or something like that, and then Renee starts particling out of existence as well. We don't know if that means that she's erased from existence. It's very well that she's stuck in time, or that basically whatever's affecting her is affecting Iris in some form or fashion. And so I'm wondering if we're actually looking at not just a time sickness, but a time pandemic. In a way that, like, we real world reflects, you know, fiction, and the fact that the pandemic had such an impact on all television, and this one certainly notwithstanding, I wonder if they're going to derive inspiration from what we just experienced over the last 2 years, in the notion that this is kind of like setting up this massive time pandemic. That, let me just throw it out there, we could end up in a situation where literally all of time stops and Barry is stuck between time. In a world that's unmoved.
Interesting.
Because he's the only one that can actually, since he's tapped into the Speed Force, he can kind of protect himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that a time pandemic, I think that would make sense. I mean, because she spread it, obviously, to Tinha's mom.
Right.
But we don't know what that means yet. I don't think she was erased from existence, because Tinha's like, what did you do to my mom? And if she was erased from existence, she'd be like, where are we and what happened to that lady who was standing there?
Well, because, but... She thinks that her mom, something got done to her mom, but it's very possible that her mom either did it to herself, or rather just the sickness did it to her, not Iris specifically.
Right, but I'm saying she's not, like, if she was erased from existence, then Tinha wouldn't know who she was. When Tinha says, what did you do to my mom? But if she was erased from existence, wouldn't, like, she just be gone?
Oh, no, not erased from existence. I'm sorry, like, removed from existence.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's outside of time now, and so
exactly.
Yeah. The memories of her and stuff still exist. She still exists in that context. In the hearts and minds of those who love her and stuff like that. But yeah, she is outside of time, in that she can no longer interact with this timeline.
And she may pop back in at a separate part of time, kind of like we've seen Iris do. Now, when that's happened to Iris, it's been because, you know, obviously she's still impacted the world around her. I don't know. I've started to really kind of kick around this idea. Of what if this is kind of actually the beginning of something far more widespread. And like I said, that she's more of kind of a patient zero, because we've been seeing this all, you know, we saw this last season. We saw this with, the Despero storyline coming into play with her dad. Like, I think that there could be something cool if they go on that route with it, especially if this reveals, for example, more speedsters. Because if this pandemic, like, if you know, again, just throwing this out here as speculation, there's a lot of speculation in this episode. There's a lot of speculation this season, honestly, with the way they've structured everything. Yeah. But if they do go in that route with kind of a time pandemic where it gets to a place where literally all of time stands still, then not only would Barry be protected, but literally all speedsters would be protected. And so it might be an opportunity to showcase, reveal, or expose to themselves other speedsters existing in Central City and kind of in the world as a whole. You know, we've seen kind of the expansion of the Flash family and of kind of the Speed Force and of speedsters in DC Comics, especially over recent years. And so I think it'd be really interesting if they took that route to really introduce a whole lot of new speedsters all at once, potentially at the end of the season. And so I'm not saying that's the direction they're going in it. I could be completely wrong, but I do know that they have said specifically that the time sickness plotline is kind of an entire season arc, as opposed to just a, you know, graphic novel arc. And so the way they've been kind of like slowly building this, it feels a little bit more like a spread. It also speaks to the fact that, you know, in this episode, we talked about how, you know, people who are, you know, in danger are still putting their lives at risk to save others, right? Like, that was, you know, Iris was kind of being held up as the example and against Killer Frost and what she was doing. But my mindset is, what if that's not the case that's going on with Iris? It's not that she's she's been treating this, everybody's been treating this as if it's something that's happening specifically to her, as opposed to it being a disease that she can actually infect others with. She doesn't realize that this might be the first revelation that that's what's happening. And if that's the case, she's gonna have to quarantine, man. It's gonna be.
Yeah. Well, so here's what's interesting, right? It's because, like,
they're gonna get time masks. Everybody's gonna get time masks. They're gonna have to be reverse Flash masks. Like, the Flash has a terrible quarantine, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting though that you mentioned the quarantine and stuff, because I got a really weird feeling when I was watching the scenes where, you know, Barry shows up in Coast City. And he's like, you know, what's going on? And the resolution there is just like, okay, so you need to stay here where you're safe, and whatever, you're gonna stay there. You're gonna stay in Coast City. And I started getting a weird sort of feeling or idea there that I wonder if there's something weird going on set.
Yeah,
because if you notice, like, it's Iris filming her stuff with Sue and with Tina and with Dion. And Barry, she's not interacting with anyone else on the cast except for Allegra earlier this season. And so I wonder if there's something going on set. And so there's some beef or something like that. I don't know. And so they're writing it in a way so Iris can stay on the story, but she doesn't have to work with actors or actresses that she doesn't want to. And so this is a way to kind of like isolate her and have her be on her own shooting schedule, on her own sets with the cast members that they can write in that that there isn't an issue with or something like that. I don't know why I got a weird feeling like that, and especially if they go a quarantine route, that would solve that problem, you know. They could write in whoever they wanted to you know visit her in the quarantine thing. Am I just speaking out of my butt here, or does this sound like it makes sense to you?
I mean, I don't want to. Yes, I mean, I hate to speculate. I know that. Well, so that's the thing. I feel like there was like midway through the series, maybe early midway through the series. There was a lot of speculation in terms of like whether or not the cast was getting along and that sort of thing. And I mean, I try to just to stay out of it because I'm like, look, we're all professionals. Everybody's, you know, like, I mean, look, go back and watch Martin. Okay. Martin was a great television show. And like the chemistry that was on that show was incredible. The stories from behind the scenes are terrible. And so it's kind of one of those situations where it's like, you know, at the end of the day, when the cameras roll and the show must go on, you know, that's, you know, people can kind of, you know, pull some incredible stuff, even when they're working with people that you know, they either hate or they just don't get along or whatever you have. Look at Suicide Squad. You know what? Actually, let's not look at Suicide Squad.
but like that's kind of my point, right? Where it's like
Jared Leto. Look at the performance. You know, actually, that's a terrible example.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's kind of my point. Where like I try to do the same thing, right? Like I hear about drama on the set or whatever, and like I don't want to look into that because I don't want to like, you know, feed any sort of speculation, rumor engine kind of thing. But it's so weird to me that like even though I haven't really looked into it, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if anything is going on. I haven't read any of the articles and stuff. But it feels weird to me that there's this sort of separation between the cast that's built into the story, and so that's why like.
But okay, all right. So
I kind of want to like, you know, look into it now. Like,
if you have pockets, all right. So sorry, we don't remember when they were writing this season. They didn't know what the world was going to be like. I don't think any of us fully like. It's still, I mean, you know, it's still difficult for me to plan to travel. Like we've got some trips coming up, and every single time I book a flight, it makes me nervous because I don't know what's going to happen and everything else. And I think we're largely, you know, out of the deep end, but at the same time, you just don't know. I mean, you know, we're not going to talk about real world events or anything, but I mean, like, who could have predicted everything that's going on in our world right now? Like, point is that I believe they probably went into this season and last season to some extent wanting to figure out how to write in a way to continue to tell stories, even if they had to, deal with smaller groups of cast members, have some of the cast members not present, like all of the different unknowns that they had in the year prior. And so I think writing in a sickness, you know, they've been calling it a sickness, but I'm telling you, if it ends up being more of a pandemic, I think that's actually a really compelling story. And it allows them to literally shoot around potential CDC guidelines for the future if things get a little dicey again, which they're not as dicey, I think, as they could have been. And I think we're probably okay, but I feel nervous even saying that, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's yeah.
So I think it, I think they're writing for that. I don't think that it's because of like set drama or anything of that nature. I think it's really more of, you know, just the technical needs and wanting to make sure that everybody's healthy and safe. And again, going into the season, not fully knowing what they'd be dealing with. That's my guess.
Yeah, but
if I had to put money down.
Yeah. But that does make sense. And I'm not saying that you're wrong or that I disagree. It's just the weird thing to me about it is that it all seems to focus around Iris. It's like Iris is in another spot. Iris is time six, so she's not on set. You know, like these have been things that like the tail end of last season, the beginning of this season, that are just, they always focus around Iris. And I'm just like, I don't know. I hope everything's okay, right? Like, you know, I love Iris. I think Candace Patton does a wonderful job as Iris. And like,
fantastic actress, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's great. And so
Texas,
like,
Mississippi,
you know,
represent. No, I hear
absolutely.
You, man.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing, though. This is where I'm going to put like a little bit of a caveat on. All right, so if there's two routes to go with it, right? Like Iris is one of the pillars of this series. So either you kind of, if the idea is that they're kind of grouping characters so that they have smaller casts to work with that are not like coming into contact from a, and again, I'm thinking from a health standpoint, I don't think it's a beef standpoint, then you kind of need your pillars to carry stories with their own kind of separate characters around them. And if you have Iris and Barry together, like, A, that makes way more sense because that's supposed to be kind of like the heart of the series. But at the same time, that also means you don't have Iris, you know, in kind of more of the journalistic, you have her more in the superhero world, which I've always liked, but the vast majority of Flash fans don't seem to like. And so there's been like this vast majority of like, no, we want Iris doing journalism stuff, which is great. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not opposed to that. But that does mean that by, you know, design, you end up in this exact situation if you are trying to do these kind of smaller grouping of cast members together at any given time. So I think it's just, you know, I think it's an unfortunate reality of the way in which they're telling the stories, whether or not that's because of interpersonal relationships behind the scenes or just because the world is what it is at the moment and they're trying to write around it. I don't know. But that's I would lean towards the latter if for no other reason than I want it to be the latter and not the former.
Yeah. And that, you know, like I said, that aspect or looking at it from that vantage point does make sense. I hope that is what's going on, that it's not anything serious, because, you know, this, you want people to enjoy their work and to not have to like be, you know, put up with it because they're under contract and stuff. Because,
well, the other thing is they're like, fun. You got. I mean, like, as you recall, these two were kind of going at it, trying to make the twins happen, and you know,
yeah, like this is going to delay the twins.
It's going to delay the twins. Maybe that's why they showed up at the beginning of this graphic, or like kind of the interlude between the graphic novels. They're like, hey, don't forget about us, mom and dad. Like, they're gonna have to pull like a reverse Back to the Future. Like, wait, why are we starting to fade out? What do we do? We gotta go back in time and get mom and dad together. Or I guess that actually is their Back to the Future. Yeah, they gotta pull it back to the future.
Yeah, Doc Brown shows up and he's like, no, it's not you. You're fine. It's your parents.
It's your parents, kids. You gotta go back and make them. Anyway, all right. So we got some more fun stuff to talk about, or some spooky stuff to talk about. But first, we're gonna take a quick break, and then right after that, we'll be right back with some speedster speculation.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow. Hold
on. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, Belle. At the end of this episode, of course, Caitlin is confronted by the voice, the specter, the flaming face of Ronnie Raymond in the Black Flame. Now, you, my friend, have been speculating for quite some time that this Black Flame has been Deathstorm all along, the kind of Black Lantern version of Ronnie Raymond, or specifically Firestorm.
Yeah.
And here we are. Now, I put a little bit of a kind of getting slightly on board with you, saying that, yes, I believe that we will see Firestorm as part of this. I think it makes a lot of sense. But I said back then that I don't necessarily think that the flame itself is Firestorm. I think that maybe it might appear as Firestorm, as it has done with other characters, but I don't know that I think that it is Firestorm. Here's my question. Now that we are here, that we've kind of left things with very much like, there it is right in your face. Not only is it Ronnie Raymond's voice, it is Ronnie Raymond's words that he is using, and the face that is pushing through the flames is not Ronnie Raymond, but in fact, the face of Firestorm from the comics. Belle, what is your take? Are you sticking with it? Are we dealing with Firestorm?
Okay, so the big question that I have is with Chester, right? Because the flame showed up to Chester as his dad.
Right.
So that kind of gives you the impression that this thing is going to show up as whatever person it can to draw the biggest, you know, emotional reaction so it can feed off of that or something,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And so that's the big kicker. And like, I don't know if this is a, if that was sort of a red herring to sort of detract that it could be Ronnie, or that this is a new ability that Ronnie has gained as Deathstorm. I still would like to think that it's Deathstorm, because I think that would be a really, really cool thing. And we're building up to so much Caitlin stuff, right? We have Caitlin and her new bow, right? And we have Frost and Chilblain. And so, you know, why are they spending so much time building up this relationship, saying that Caitlin's going all in on this guy, and then, you know, they're gonna throw Ronnie, but I don't know. Then again, if it wasn't actually Ronnie and it was something manipulating her, that would also kind of make sense, in that it would basically what I'm looking towards, and what I think is going to happen here, is that we're going to have, you know, an emotional moment, because, like, you know, Caitlin can't fully go all in on her relationship until she truly actually gets over Ronnie. And I feel like that's why I feel like it's going to actually be Deathstorm. It's actually going to be Ronnie, because if it was just an apparition that this thing was using to try to draw some more negative emotions out of her, then it would feel less, I don't know, less of an actual, like, overcoming of her grief and her guilt and stuff like that. Because, like, you know, with Chester, it was the same kind of thing, right? Like, he had to be like, no, my dad loved me, blah, 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 blah. And then the thing went away and he was able to defeat it. But, like, I feel like if this is actually Deathstorm, that would be more emotionally significant for Caitlin. And maybe that's the way they defeat it, is it's like, no, you're dead. Go back to dead land or something. I don't know. I just want it to be Ronnie because I want to be right.
Well, at least you're honest about that.
I mean, yeah, no, like, I feel like he's going to show up, but I don't know if it's actually him. I like
You're walking it back.
Well,
okay,
no, but that's the thing. That's the thing, is the one thing is when it showed up as Chester's dad. Uh-huh. I still think it's going to be Firestorm. I want that to be an ability that Firestorm has, is to, or sorry, Deathstorm has, is to, you know, manipulate you emotionally by showing up as someone that you love. But I want it. I want the entity to actually be Firestorm. And I'm going to stick with it and say that it actually is Firestorm, and that this is part of its death power, is to charge itself. It has to feed off these emotions. And so to do that, it's able to show up as someone that you really love. But it's still kind of early in the season, and so we don't know if it's going to impact somebody else and it's going to show up as a different form. But I'm hoping that it will solidify and it will be Ronnie, and then, you know, Ronnie as Deathstorm. And then we can, you know, go forward in the story with that being the definitive who it is and what it is.
Okay, so
that's what I want to happen. I'm going to stick with that.
So you've spent more time with Firestorm than I in terms of on Legends. Obviously, that's not Ronnie, but in terms of like the power set and the way everything works, I just have one question. Have you ever seen Firestorm, anybody that's Firestorm, change form into anything other than Firestorm? Anything or anyone other than Firestorm?
Well, I mean, just by becoming Firestorm, they change form.
Right.
But they usually take the form of one or the other.
But that's my point. So they take the form. Like, there's a body and there's a head. And so, like, it's a body sharing two minds. Like Caitlyn. They made her like a reverse Firestorm.
Yeah, a cold storm.
A cold storm.
And the cold fusion thing. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, he was nuclear fusion. This is cold fusion. It makes sense. It's poetry, right? It rhymes. You have Firestorm, which is fusion. This thing, which is cold fusion. It would make sense for him to die and come back in that way. Like, I think there's more stuff pointing towards it being Ronnie and Deathstorm than it is not. And I think the whole thing with Chester was just a red herring to make us think that it was something else.
So here's the deal. I think you're right. The red herring for sure. But I'm just thinking that's so different from the power set that we've seen from Firestorm. I think that we're dealing with, my thought is we are dealing with something Black Lantern related. I still kind of lean in that direction, and I still lean in the direction of, you know, it'll probably be very different from the Black Lanterns of the comics. But I mean, I do think that it will potentially set up a connection with Diggle coming in as a Green Lantern at some point, and kind of give kind of that additional push they need to actually make that happen, as opposed to keep on teasing it forever.
So I think that's WandaVision level speculation, where we're just dressed. I mean, that would be cool and great, and yeah, but like, you know, there is no Mephisto, there is no Fox X-Men in the MCU yet. I think it's that level kind of speculation.
Stay tuned.
I think it's going to be Firestorm. And it's going to be Deathstorm. Sorry, it's going to be Deathstorm, but it's not going to be tied into the Black Lanterns in any way.
They're going to bring Ronnie back to make him a killer. That's what they're going to do. Yeah, that's what you're saying. They're going to bring Ronnie back to make him a killer.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. They're not going to make they're not going to make him a killer.
He's not. I don't think it's a killer per se. I think
he's killed a couple of people now. Like, he's literally a serial killer.
He has. But I think the way they're going to play it is they're going to do it something where it's like, this is something he can't control, and that he has to. He's like a vampire, has to feed on people to live, and they're going to try to find a way to make him feed on something that won't kill anybody else. That's the way the season has been going. That's they're going to have a heart to heart. And Barry's going to be like, you got to stop eating people's grief and instead eat, I don't know, animal grief.
I don't know,
man. Go to one of those horrible Tyson chicken farms and go feed off the grief of the chickens there.
I just don't see it. I just don't think they're going that route. I think that I think we're dealing with some sort of death entity. I think that it is using, I think just as we saw before, it's going to use Ronnie in a big way. I think it's going to be a big bait and switch by the end of this storyline that they're probably going to even, let me throw it this way. Okay. So it appears as Ronnie to Caitlin. Suddenly Team Flash doesn't want to like capture this thing. They want to like bring it into a physical form. So then they go throughout all of this to try to bring it into corporeal form, just to reveal it wasn't Ronnie. He was using that as an excuse to get him to make, you know, to bring him into the real world. And in fact, it is, I actually don't know. I don't know who it is. I'm just
Cobalt Blue.
Could be Black Flash. It could be Zolomon.
No, I'm telling you, dude, it's gotta be Deathstorm. The cold fusion and the fusion of Firestorm, like, that plays well. The Ronnie thing, that plays well. I mean, you know, if they're not going that route, then they better have a really, really good explanation as to why all these other things are there. Like, why is it cold fusion? You know, why is, you know, we had a clip of Ronnie to remind the audience of who Ronnie, that was another one. The thing I was talking about earlier, where I was saying, like, you know, sometimes they'll show clips of the audience to, like, remind them who this character was. And it worked for Icicle because I forgot who he was. But then it was Ronnie's like, everybody knows who Ronnie is.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Same episode. They did the thing in the same episode and I had two different reactions to it. That's hilarious.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah. So they're going to need to come up with something good. And otherwise, like, the whole cold fusion thing, why even go with that in the first place? Unless they're just doing this whole big misdirection for misdirection's sake. And I don't really appreciate that. I don't like the misdirection for misdirection's sake. I would rather them, you know, stick with something, make a lot of clues fit. Right. But right now, everything's sort of pointing to Ronnie. And there doesn't seem to be any other series of clues or anything that points to another character that I'm aware of. There might be some, you know, obscure comic book villain that I'm not aware of, but like everything now from the show, from the comics, is pointing towards Deathstorm. And so
why would Ronnie feed off of grief? No, I'm sorry, Matt. Why would Ronnie feed off of emotion? Why would he feed off of grief? Why would he not suddenly have the ability to take on, like, the visuals of other people who have died? Like, that, none of that makes sense, though. Like, I hear what you're saying. The cold fusion makes sense. Yes, the visuals make sense. Like, I get that. But I mean, like, I feel like that all ties to something else. Like,
well, maybe somebody reanimated him, and, like, you know, like, that's the ultimate villain, is like somebody's reanimated him.
Okay.
Like,
all
they
were
looking for a puppet master to begin with.
Like Blackhand.
Because, I mean, maybe, you know, and I just don't think they're going to, like, pull in the freaking Darkest Night storyline. Like, that would be awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Dude, if they're doing Deathstorm, they already have pulled in the Darkest Night. Like, that is a character from the Darkest Night storyline.
I don't know. So, well, okay, well then, fine. Let's go Darkest Night. I'm on board. Let's do it.
We're already here. This is what I'm saying. Like the very fact that they've confirmed that they're going to bring in that one way or the other, Firestorm is coming. Whether or not it's the real Firestorm, whether or not it's really Ronnie, that's what we're debating. But no, Firestorm is definitely here in the same way that Chester's dad last episode. What did I say? Firestorm? Yeah, Deathstorm. Yeah. I meant Deathstorm. Sorry.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just hope if it is somehow, if he came back and that caused his abilities to, like, I don't know, they're gonna OMG science it. Like, there doesn't have to be an explanation as to why he needs grief to, like, feed his cold fusion. OMG science.
Yeah. I'm saying you may be right, but we will see. Let us know y'all's thoughts. By the way, you can tweet in at TV Talk FM is the Twitter handle. Use the hashtag Flash TV Talk. We want to hear your thoughts. Is this really Firestorm? Is this really Ronnie, or is this something else? I say something else. Bell says it's Ronnie. We want to hear from you. Let us know. We've got, there's some big episodes coming down the line that are going to tie directly in with the storyline. One last thing I did want to ask you, and maybe this is a conversation for next episode, but so Ronnie comes back. Do Caitlin and Frost both feel that they, like, is, do they... How do I say this? Is Frost going to be like, oh, hey, Caitlin, it's your beau, it's your boy, it's your boyfriend, your fiance, or is it going to be like Frost is like, oh wait, that was my man. You know what I mean? Like, which one is it?
You know, because she was in there the whole
time. She was in there? Yeah.
But it was probably, I mean, she was in the back seat, like, at that point.
I mean, all right. Anyway, we'll talk about it more next week, I'm sure. That's going to do it for us for this week. Like I said, tweet in your thoughts to the show at TV Talk FM. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. Let him know happy birthday. Which happy birthday? Happy Bell Day. Happy ring that birthday.
Anyway, ring that birthday.
Ring that bell on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information, including access to our YouTube channel, where we've got Batcraft going on, having a lot of fun with the folks over there. All that information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week, but don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.